This is the House of Pop Culture. I am Anthony Donovan.
I'm Amy Meredith.
Durwood Murray.
And Joe Reese.
And for the next hour or so, we will be very frightened and scared as each of us is killed off once. But the good news is that the black guy always dies first.
True.
So we'll have plenty of time to escape. This is our Halloween and special,
then
everybody.
Then usually the slut second. So that sorry, means, Amy.
I'm not the slut. Anthony's the slut.
True. Then the fat guy third. So then the virginal pure one is like, wait.
No, I'm really the one that's evil.
Yeah, exactly. She's the one who's killing us all.
But at the end, the twist is that I'm the one that kills everyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, for the next hour, we're going to be talking about, you know, our favorite Halloween things and scary movies and the most frightening things we've ever seen, which currently for me is Honey Boo Boo. But,
okay. I have to tell the story.
Nice. Right out of the gate.
One of our friends, this has nothing to do with Halloween, but Honey Boo Boo. One of our friends, who is pop culture illiterate. So I think you all know who I'm talking about.
I know who this is.
Durwood? No. Should I say her name? Should we call her out?
Oh, got it. Okay.
I'm not sure what was going on over there. Didn't know who Honey Boo Boo was. Mm-hmm. Assumed it was one of the Hair Bears. I had never heard of the Hair Bears.
They were Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Apparently those things were racist. We looked it up. That was some racist bears.
It was cartoons in the 60s. Show me something that wasn't racist. Oh, the Harlem Globetrotters cartoon. Even then.
Yeah. They lived on a cell block, is all I'm saying. That's how it says. But it was funny, because I never heard of anything
called
Hair
Halloween
Bears.
Is our favorite time of year. Personally, for me, I love dressing up. I love candy.
Yeah, Amy loves it because she can dress up as a ghost all she wants.
Yeah, it's true.
Very true. So you just candy. There it is. The big thing for Halloween.
Okay, the candy corn Oreos look disgusting.
Yeah. Dude, anything candy corn is fucking horrible. Who is it that likes candy corn?
I like candy corn. However,
what?
When shocking. They give you like, you know, that yeah, shut up. That small little bag that has maybe like 10 of them. That's about all I can do for the Halloween season.
That's true.
And it's one of those things that's usually only around the Halloween season. And I love Oreos. But man, that shit sounds and looks
disgusting. If I had to make a top five off the top of my head of shittiest trick-or-treating receiving items, number one would be candy corn. Number two, Mary Janes. Mary Janes are ass. Oh.
Number three, razor blades.
Well, number three is going to be apples. Come on. Number four, dental floss.
Who gives dental floss?
People who want to have their house egged.
I lived in the suburbs, and the dentists on the block who gave out dental floss would like their business card. And I'll go dental floss slash toothbrush. They thought they were being clever, but they were being assholes.
And number one?
Number one, change. That's just uneventful.
I'm
that's
sorry.
Just uninventive.
How often does that happen that you mistake a group of children trick-or-treating as panhandlers?
But what that is, that's somebody who clearly forgot it was Halloween. Somebody who didn't prepare.
Okay.
Maybe wait, Jehovah's Witnesses who accidentally opened the door.
Drag the penny jar up to
pretty
the...
Pretty much.
The only time I would do that is if the kids on my step, one of them broke out a guitar and started playing Muddy Waters and like turned their hat upside down. Then I'd give them change.
Well, I mean, how often does that happen now? Because, I mean, most people...
Well, yeah,
because
kids don't know the blues like they used to.
And, you know, because, you know, people are gonna...
Sound engineer Joey.
I got nothing now.
Yeah. Sound engineer Joey is a little bit inconsolable right now.
He's out for the count.
If our sound sounds a little weird, it's now because Anthony killed the sound engineer.
Might be a little off.
You missed the worst candy. Those weird nondescript orange and black
that
wrappers.
Peanut butter toffee bullshit.
That thing, it doesn't even have a name.
Okay, first of all, anybody else out here, I'm in my late 30s, and I'm sure a lot of people out there, when we used to go trick-or-treating, did your parents used to actually, like, confiscate all of your candy and go through it first for safety, finger air quotes?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden all the name candy was gone and you were left with all that bullshit that was
no,
the bargain basement?
No, because I think
basement.
My parents realized that they would lose a hand if they tried to take the candy from
my dad
it,
tried
so.
That once. Once. Yes.
Thank you, Joe Pistol.
Well, you weren't smart enough to put the real candy down your bra?
I was little and I wasn't wearing a bra. Okay, I only went as Boy George when I was 9.
Oh, okay.
So, before that, I had, like, 7 years of trick-or-treating mishaps, but we'll get to that in a minute.
The taff taffy. That is like the, it's like the 99-cent mm-hmm. store candy that they buy.
Yeah.
It comes in an, either an orange wrapper. Do you like that,
Durwood?
Well, you can always tell right around mid-November because you started, you save all your candy and you would take it with you to school for your lunches.
I'm sorry, you save all your candy?
Well, no, I'd start putting it in my school lunches and take it with me for a little treat. And then like by the time you get to early November, you're going down to like the bottom echelon candy and you're just like,
okay, no, I'm with you on that, but let's just put it this way. All my good shit got eaten en route, okay?
Yeah.
Then, like, day two was when I was left with, like, Reese's and Three Musketeers.
What's
which
wrong
is like,
with Reese's?
It's like,
the
to
fuck
me,
is wrong with Reese's?
To me, it's second-tier candy, okay? It's just the way that
what?
I feel.
Serious?
Get the behind, fuck out.
Behind Snickers. Behind Baby Ruth. Behind Nestle's Crunch.
Oh, Snicker, please. Now, how about this one? Have y'all ever had, like, the well-to-do neighborhoods, and you'd always make it a point to make your parents drive you across town because they gave out the full-size candy bars?
Yes! Full-size candy bar for the win! That was the greatest, and it was always an amazing discovery. Uh-huh. And then it was a game of telephone, because I was never the first one out that night, but somebody would be, and they would find out who it was that was giving out the full-size candy bars, and then they would relay that message to all the other kids, and then finally
sending
get back
telegrams.
To you. Yes. And then you would run. That was the house you ran to first. Because if you went there first, it meant you could come back when you went on your actual route.
Yeah.
And that was the one place you always had to have like a parent or guardian walk with you for Halloween trick-or-treating. Mm-hmm. That was the one house they would actually go up to, too, and be like, I'm sorry. May I please have one of your full-size Snickers? Thank you.
Now, here's the thing. In our house, I have the big bars, and then I have the other candy.
Well, yeah.
Now
it's a grading system.
When
this sounds awesome.
When you come to my door,
this is, by the way, this is absolutely true what she's telling you.
If you come to my door and you're an adorable little child in your cute little costume, you get a big bar.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
You are cute.
I give
love
the
you.
Best candy to the smallest kid.
That's right.
Because that was me.
Or the best costume.
Okay, I like that.
Now,
best costume.
If you are a teenager and you come to my door and you've got a decent costume on, I might give you a good bar, depending on the costume.
And your attitude.
And your attitude. Now,
but if you're a teenager and you came with it, though.
If you're escorting other
children.
If you're bringing
kids, that's commendable.
What if you're 15 and you're alone, but you did, like, you're a cosplayer and you did the thing?
You get your big bar.
Okay, cool.
Now, if you are a gaggle of teenagers and you come to my door in no costume and pillowcases.
Wearing a bandana, a fucking pillowcase. I did.
What if you're an irony of hipsters?
That too. You get candy necklace.
Okay.
You get the bottom of the sugar baby.
The candy
but
corn.
But here's the thing.
The candy corn.
If it is actually an irony of hipsters or a smug of hipsters, they might actually enjoy the candy necklace. And I don't want to give them that satisfaction.
Yeah, that's true.
They may be like, candy necklace, nice.
But you don't show up at
all
my
right,
house
you
with
get
no costume.
I'm going to take a dump in your bags then.
But I would make sure if a smug of hipsters did show up at my door and I gave them the candy necklace and they were happy, I would be sure to give the child who comes up behind them a six-pack of Pabst Blue Ribbon. To make a point, I'll do it. And I always, like, I love going back to the bigger bars. I always love that. And I really wish that I didn't have such a disdain for children.
Oh my
because
God.
I would totally be that kind of adult who hands out full-size candy
oh,
bars.
Oh, and I just want to let you all know, you are giving my kid full-size candy bars.
Well,
especially
of course.
Before she is four. Oh. Because
we know it's going back to you.
Provided yes. I can wrestle them out of daddy's hands.
Joe,
and by daddy, I mean Durwood.
I have been on the internet, and I have seen how to make a Kit Kat bar that weighs 10 pounds. I am on the motherfucker for your kid when she's old enough to trick-or-treat.
Look at Joe. He's stunned right now. He's awestruck. He's
nice.
Drooling and frothing
she'll,
at the mouth.
She'll get a 10-pound Kit Kat for Halloween and type 2 for Christmas.
You're welcome.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, it's true.
But growing up, my mother, sorry, I defamed someone again.
Again, I love it.
But it's your mother, it doesn't
yeah,
count.
Yeah, it doesn't
family.
Count. My mother is a amazing costume designer and seamstress. It's about the only thing that she does well. So my costumes were top-notch.
Yeah.
I mean, perfect. Anything I wanted, I could be like, I want that, and I got it original. One year, I wanted to be Queen Elizabeth, and I had the full outfit, the huge collars, the hoop skirt. I mean, it was gorgeous. You couldn't even get me in the car. The thing was so big. Now, one year, I wanted to be like everyone else.
Mm.
And I said to my mother, I want a store-bought costume. And my mother basically spit on me. But she took me to the store and let me buy a store-bought costume.
I kind of would have too.
I got the little plastic Barbie doll costume, the little plastic outfit with the little mask. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. I had never been so fucking miserable in all my life. I don't know how anyone ever wore one of those plastic masks.
Those were all the costumes I ever had. I remember the one I remember most was Pac-Man. And it's a fucking twister mat. That's like a like one of those Mexican ponchos. So, yeah. And then they give you that fucking yellow mask with eye holes that make it, I'm sorry, no offense, that make you look Asian. And then there's like a sliver of a mouth hole.
You don't.
You really don't.
And so, and my dad saw this and saw that you're not going to be able to breathe in this. So took a knife, a fucking butcher knife, and shoved it into the nose.
Hopefully
to make,
you
like,
weren't
nose
wearing
holes.
It at the time.
No, I wasn't wearing it at the time. But it's like he did it from the outside in. So when I put the mask on, I've got shards of plastic mask going up my nose. But I wanted to be Pac-Man so badly that I didn't say anything.
Sounded more like Scarecrow.
Pretty much. The staples.
Yeah.
Metal staples holding.
Well, because
the
they were assembled
gun.
In Taiwan by some, you know, Himalayan whistle kid.
And here's the thing: my mother takes me and my friend. Because all my friends had those costumes, and I always look different because my elaborate costumes.
Because you look awesome.
Yes.
And they look.
So my mother
store bought.
Yes. So my mother takes us all trick or treating, and I am miserable. And every time I even make a noise, she looks at me with that "You better not say a goddamn word."
You brought this on yourself.
I had to suffer the entire night in silence.
See, my costume that I loved when I was, gosh, I was, when did Empire come out? 80?
80.
It was probably 81 or 82, so I was like 6 or 7 years old, and I was Boba Fett. And I was
did
so happy.
Your fanboys are creaming
I had
their
my,
pants now.
I had my, you know, my little mask, which of course was the dangerous early 80s, you know, lead paint with giant staples that would, you know, stapled inward so they'd keep scratching at your temples.
And they're all rusty.
And then the friggin' elastic band would always snap at some point, because even then I had a big head, and my mom would fix it on the fly like she was fucking MacGyver, and I thought that was amazing. So, you know, and the costume, which was basically a gray trash bag tied in the back, that said Boba Fett on the front of it. You look like a NASCAR with all the logos on it. So, and I was getting so mad because everywhere we went, I was with my cousin, and my cousin Philip was dressed as Hulk, you know, and everybody knew the Hulk, and nobody knew who I was.
I'm sorry. You have to clarify, the Incredible Hulk or Hulk Hogan?
I don't call Hulk Hogan the Hulk. The Incredible Hulk.
Thank you.
Yes, and I believe he was saying, what, 81, 82? So was Hulkamania around by then?
Not quite.
Okay, it wasn't Hulkamania, but at that point he was wrestling in the AWA as Sterling Golden, and he was making his leap.
So not as
towards,
Hulk.
What? No, it was Sterling Golden the Hulk. It's complicated,
really. Put
your head
down on your desk.
Yeah, that served no purpose but to just interrupt me. Anyway, so I'm Boba Fett, and I'm pissed, because everywhere we go, people know that Philip is the Hulk, and they're like, oh, and what are you supposed to be? And I just kept going, I'm Boba Fett! I'm Boba Fett! I'm Boba Fett! Like, every single, and I'm little, and every single house, I'm just, like, I'm looking up at them like this, Lord only knows what I must have looked like a little Lego man looking up at them and being like, I'm Boba Fett! And I was getting so mad, and, like, this one lady was just like, oh, I've never heard of that cartoon. And I'm like, fuck you, it's not a cartoon! Except that I didn't actually say that.
I would love a little 6-year-old Anthony dressed as Boba Fett, the trash bag,
and they're
just
like,
going,
oh, fuck you, lady! Yeah, and they're like, oh, we love the Hulk, here, please take this pack of Hershey bars. You know, oh, you're Boba Fett? Oh, here's some Laffy Taffy, or whatever the hell it was back then.
Oh, Laffy Taffy's horrible, too, actually.
Yeah, and it was a horrible song.
Yeah. Actually, now I think about it, when it comes to Willy Wonka candy, aside from his bars,
God, we have now divided it.
I'm just saying, Wonka candy, for the most part, not that great.
Wonka bars are amazing.
Wonka, I said aside from the bars. So we're talking about Nerds, Gobstoppers, Laffy Taffy.
I love Nerds.
I hate them all. I cannot deal.
Ugh.
Sorry.
Joe, what about you?
Well, you're a communist.
Childhood costume,
Joe. Sweethearts, too.
There's a great picture of me, I think probably when I was about a year and a half old.
Foil ball?
No. Super Grover.
Oh,
but I wasn't
awesome.
I didn't wear a mask. I just had the Super Grover costume.
Oh my god, you must have looked like a koosh ball.
Yes, yes. Thanks, ass hat.
Sorry.
Or I think my first Halloween, I was dressed as a University of Wisconsin hockey player. Oh, I had this makeshift little goalie.
That's adorable.
Yes, it was adorable.
How very specific.
For my parents, all right, so when I was a little kid, I always had the store-bought costume, and then they got, because my parents were cheap, they didn't want to buy me costumes anymore, and under the guise of forcing me to be creative, they would make me make my own costumes, and so, yeah, and I'm not creative in that way when it comes to costumes, I'm just not, and to this day, I'm not either. And so my costumes always end up being what I have lying around. Like nowadays, my costume is usually whatever I have in my car on Halloween. So there have been a couple years in a row where I've gone as like an extra in a rap video. Because I've always got like a bandana in my car and I can, yeah. And I know our podcast listeners can't see this right now, but Joe is actually licking his nipple in my direction right now. It's so true. It's a little bit distracting.
Really, it was directed at me. Yeah. I just pointed it out.
I just wanted to share that with all our listeners.
Speaking of sexy... When, of course, when you get a little bit older, then. Like when I hit the high school years, that's the Mean Girls had it right. Once you hit your high school years as a girl, costumes get put away, and that is your one night to be a hoe.
So, considering your teenage years, is that the one night you dressed demurely?
No. Or is that the night where you just wore a costume that found a way to turn your vagina inside out?
That's disgusting.
Well, Amy.
No.
Yes, it is.
But because I grew up in the pageant world and the dance world, I had a costume closet. So... my hoe outfit was always, again, the top echelon of hoe outfits.
So you looked like an escort, is what you're saying.
So you were the bottom bitch then?
No, I was more of a courtesan than an actual hoe.
You're a courtesan queen? What?
I'm sure that was the free gift with purchase.
Look, I'm just saying, I got all the best candy that night.
I'm sure.
And by candy, she means penis.
But it's not all about costumes and candy.
No.
Well, no, really, we do that all the time.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's our daily life.
I'm sorry, weren't y'all just scarfing down like 4 pounds of candy like 5 minutes ago?
It was there. What do you want me to
do? 2.5.
God.
Can't beat the catering of Don't Panic. I'm just saying.
Let's talk horror movies. Ooh.
Okay, I would just like to say off the top, I don't watch scary movies.
Derwood and I hate scary movies.
Now question.
Now go on.
I still have a top five, but
horror slash thriller slash suspense because
You can break it down that way.
Yeah, because I mean I mean kind of all that genre because there's some horror like and then there's some that I'm not, but also a good suspense movie is.
Good, yeah. Now if you. For me, there's a Halloween special that comes on every year. I actually have it on DVD now. I love it. It's so good. Bravo does it. It's the top 100 scary movies. It is probably, to me, one of the best countdown shows ever produced of anything.
Scariest movies, I'm assuming, in the top five is Ernest Saves Christmas?
Yes. Because the people they have talking about it are very knowledgeable, and they're excited to talk about it. Guillermo del Toro is on one of the panelists, and when he talks about the movie The Thing, he gets so excited, and it's just a great time to watch, and I love it. I think it's great, but it...
That almost made my list.
Yeah, the trailer for Guillermo del Toro's Mama gave me nightmares for weeks.
Yeah, because he's supposed to be doing a new Haunted Mansion movie.
Yes.
And that when they announced it at Comic-Con a couple years ago that he was going to be doing it, I'm like, oh, okay. But the fact, dude has a whole room in his house of haunted, that's made to look like rooms in the Haunted Mansion with Haunted Mansion memorabilia.
That's dope.
Yeah, like original shit. And yeah.
Guillermo del Toro he's the devil's backbone.
It's like, it's not going to be comedy.
Yeah, the devil's backbone is probably, it's not on my list of the best horror movies, but it scared me. Like, it gave me the willies for like several days. Do you boys want to go first since y'all are the big, or Derwood, you've
been I don't out? Think Derwood's going to be playing in this round. Well,
I don't have any frame of reference. I do not watch.
Why? Scared.
I don't, the sensation of being scared.
Yeah.
Is not enjoyable to me.
But you take a girl to a scary movie. I'm gonna
tell you one first date I went on, and that was one of those. You know how you like go to like a haunted house or a haunted maze or whatever where you walk through and shit jumps out at you and scares you.
I went
on a first date to one of those, and you're not gonna get a second date when somebody with a fucking chainsaw jumps out at you and you go, please don't kill me, take the woman instead.
So you don't do first date.
So yeah, taking girls to scary shit, I just don't do.
That seems logical now.
Thank you,
Anthony.
Okay, well, I mean, I have a top five. Shall I go in order?
Go ahead.
Okay, number five, it's less scary and more ridiculous, and I just have such great memories of watching this movie with my friend in high school. It's actually Sleepaway Camp 3, Teenage Wasteland.
Seriously?
There was one
night
where
there in the field?
I was at my friend John's house, and
Did they fight for their meals?
I was sleeping over his house, and we watched this ridiculous slasher movie. And we just kept laughing at it the entire time, and it was so funny and so ridiculous. I mean, a lady gets buried up to her neck, and then they run over her head with a lawnmower. Someone gives a news reporter Drano, telling her it's cocaine, and she snorts it and then dies.
This sounds hilarious.
It's ridiculous, but it's this one girl named Angela, and they call her the Angel of Death. And she kills all these kids at sleepaway camp. And like I said, it's a scary slasher film.
Never mind.
There were no names in it. It's a scary slasher film, but it was ridiculous, and I just have such great memories of watching it, so it's my number five.
You know, go ahead with your bad self.
Okay, my number four is the original Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh?
And 1984, my brother went on a date to go see that movie in the theater, and came home, and he was so scared he could not sleep. Now, my brother and I shared a room at this point.
He didn't get laid that night, did he?
No.
See?
So... he was scared. He was totally freaked out by the movie. So what does he do with his 9-year-old brother to stop from being scared? Proceeds to tell me the entire movie from start to finish. And, you know, rather than showing it to me, just lets my highly paranoid, even back then, imagination take hold. And by the time I saw it, it was super scary. But it's a fiercely original concept.
Yes.
And the original, if you go back and look at it, it's actually really well done. Yeah. The special effects are a little cheesy now, but
at the time, it was...
yeah.
Who is that? It's not
Johnny Depp is in it.
No, I'm not talking about in it.
Robert Englund.
Wes Craven.
Yeah, Wes Craven.
You know, he originally based that idea on a true story that he read an article of this teenage boy who was scared to go to sleep, and they finally you have to sleep, and they kept trying to get him to go to sleep, and he was up for I don't remember, it was days, and they finally got him to go to sleep, and he was in a room, and he was asleep, the article said, for about an hour, and he just died, and there was no, they did an autopsy, and there was no any kind of reason for him to have died. They couldn't find any cause of death, and that's what inspired him to do that movie.
I hear if you die in a dream, you die in real life. Sleep tight, everybody.
That's not true. Because you know how they also say when you're falling in a dream, if you land, you're dead? That's not true. It happened to me when I was 14. I landed and I remember thinking, wow, the ground is really soft. And then I woke up.
Maybe you're dead right now.
No, I'm not. All right.
<It's> dead people.
All right. My number three is the first Pet Cemetery.
Also really creepy.
I watched that the first time with my stepmom back in the day, and I couldn't sleep as a teenager, and I was just like, why do I do this to myself? Why?
Directed by Mary Lambert.
Yeah.
One of the few horror movies directed by a woman.
Yeah, and a damn well-made movie.
She was great in Highlander.
That's Christopher Lambert, you douche nozzle.
That's my bad. Go on, Anthony.
Anyway, my number two, The Exorcist. I saw that for the first time when I was
my number two as
I saw it for the first time when I was 11, and I thought it was hilarious. I couldn't stop laughing. I thought it was silly and just the whole nine yards over it, preteen like you were. Somewhere around, I want to say 2000, the movie was re-released and it was the director's cut.
I made him go see it with me.
And she's like, hey, let's go see The Exorcist. I'm like, cool. And now I'm watching it as a 25-year-old, and that shit, I could not go to sleep that night.
So good.
Yeah, I could not even deal with how freaking scary that movie was.
Stuff in it when she does the crab walk.
I love The Exorcist. And the voice of the devil is...
See, now I said the voice of the devil not too long ago at rehearsal, and my director told me I was wrong, so now I'm all unsure about it.
I don't think you are.
I thought it was Pat Carroll.
From
who was the voice of Ursula.
Nice.
I believe it is.
That's what I understood.
But then our listeners can look that up and then email us back.
I think I'm right.
I think you're right too.
But anyway, so that movie completely.
I remember when in eighth grade we did a DC trip and we were driving past Georgetown, and this is before I had seen the movie, But the bus driver pointed out, and those are the stairs from The Exorcist. So the
ending
stairs,
staircase.
Yeah, the stairs. Yeah. Nice.
Okay. And number one, absolute all-time freak me the fuck out movie ever, The Shining.
Shining's on my list.
That's my honor. That's an honorable mention
and,
for me.
And I hate.
Oh, it's. So
I hate
good.
That I love that movie
Come
so much.
Play with us, Danny.
Because play it with is us a tribute to forever. The genius of Stanley Kubrick. I mean, so there that movie should be taught at film schools.
Oh, it's beautiful.
For the cinematography alone.
Yeah. No, it's beautiful.
Hipster Durwood?
I find that movie overrated. I'm sorry.
Of course you do.
It's so good, but it is so flipping scary.
I didn't.
It's so
just,
good.
Yeah. I didn't find it
the
scary.
Whole scene, that part where...
And I love the
just
book.
The use of white noise in it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, God, the scene in the bathroom. Like, where he's talking to the butler, I'm just like, oh my God.
The best use of noise in that is him on that big wheel. The
oh,
floor,
God.
And then the carpet. The floor, and then the carpet. It is so, it's got such rhythm, and it is so terrifying and spooky.
Mm-hmm. And but, you know what they say, the rhythm is going to get
yes.
you.
Yes. It's true.
But the scariest is when, what's her face?
Shelley Duvall.
Shelley Duvall is looking at that reams and reams
well,
of
Well, yeah,
because
that's when it turns.
That point of view shot coming behind her, because you mm-hmm. know it's him.
Yeah.
Oh my God, and you're just like screaming, run! Jack Nicholson's gonna get you, run! Like,
I used to have throughout high school and in college when I still with my parents, I had the him busting through the door poster mm-hmm. and yeah, that was I love that movie.
Well, and to me, Jack Nicholson is the least scary thing in it. To yeah. me, the really scary is the hotel and everything in it. And
well, yeah. frightening.
I love the book, and they did when they did a miniseries. I was a lot closer to the book.
Freaky
was,
as shit.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, because a whole lot of different things. Like when there, because the maze isn't at all in the book, but it's like the topiary that comes alive and shit.
Yeah,
the wolf mask.
Yeah,
yeah.
My five. The first one is not a theatrical movie. It was actually a miniseries. I'm a huge horror buff. I love horror films and anything like that. I love the scary. But I was trying to be a badass. My parents were out of town, and I was like, I'm going to watch this all by myself. Yeah, I ended up calling everybody over to the house afterwards. The mm-hmm. miniseries.
Yes.
Holy crap. For someone who also doesn't like dolls staring at me or creepy
no,
clowns.
No, down here.
Yeah, that freaked my shit out. Tim Curry.
I've only seen about 5 minutes of that. I actually saw it when it originally aired. I saw 5 minutes of it, and I was just like, I'm out. Can't deal.
Yeah. The Shining, of course, right there on my list. Again, for so many reasons. I think it's amazing. Nosferatu.
That's my number
going
three.
Way old school.
Oh,
yeah, that's my number
here's
three.
Here's the thing, though. That movie holds up.
Yeah.
By the way, if you ever get the chance, rent Shadow of the Vampire.
Also good.
Also, yeah. I saw at the Symphony... They showed Nosferatu with the symphony playing
wow,
underneath. It was
that.
Amazing.
That movie holds up. It is still as scary. I can't imagine what the audiences of the time
1922
thought of that movie. Yeah. That's what really gets to me. It's like craziness. The other one, and I don't know if you guys have seen it, is Audition.
I haven't. I want to see it, but I haven't seen it. I hear it's a slow build, but it builds. And
it is such
you don't
a slow
it.
Build movie, and the last like 15 minutes of that movie, because normally I am a horror buff. I'm not a slasher kind of fic. I to me movies like Hostel doesn't scare me one bit. It's just gross and it does nothing. I like the scary. Audition has that kind of gross, but it is so frightening because the villain in it is a woman, and she's little, and you don't think she could overpower somebody, but she puts on like this like plastic like meatwork apron and goes to town on this guy, and it is frightening.
Yeah, I was reading some guy was talking about different things, and he was talking about how like the Hostel type movie that more like you know it's basically torture porn,
right?
And how normally like those type of movies, it's not, but you're saying Audition is
it's a slow build. The premise of because Durwood's looking at me like I have no idea what you're talking about. It's a Japanese film. The story of it is this guy holds a fake audition.
He's a widower.
Yeah, to find a woman. He holds his fake audition to meet women.
Creepy.
Right, but he's not the creepy one. He's so nice, and he meets this chick, and you think she's really nice, and then. Like, he's like, I don't know, and they kind of thing, and he's like, oh, I'll call you, whatever. And then it, like, there's some other stuff, and then it shows her, and she's sitting on the floor just staring at the phone. Like, at that point, you're like, this chick is fucking crazy.
Oh.
And she is. Like, there's a whole backstory to her and everything, but it, oh my god, it's so good. And it's still, like, there are parts of it that I still can't watch all the way through, because it gets so intense. The Exorcist is my number one, without a doubt. I think it's brilliant. If I could slide one more in there, would be the original Alien.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That, I mean, that's one of my
oftentimes not brought up in the horror genre.
Yeah, because
it is classic horror.
Yeah, it is very much horror. It's like, yeah, just because it's, you know, yeah, there's sci-fi aspects.
Absolutely.
To it, but that was a great thing, is Ridley Scott got brought on to that. He was not a sci-fi director or anything. He got brought on to direct it, and so he just treated it as it was, and he's now known as a huge sci-fi director, and he's directed 3 sci-fi movies with Alien,
right,
Blade Runner, and Prometheus.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the second Alien movie is bad. I love Aliens, the second one. It's not scary to me as the first one is.
The second one is a James Cameron action type movie.
Yeah.
It's not scary, but it's a big ass action movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is great, but
yeah. What was did we not hit something? Yeah,
you only touched on 2 from my actual list and 1 of my honorable mentions, because I have 5 honorable mentions as well. My number 5 movie has won a Best Picture. Silence of the Lambs.
That movie messed with me.
Yeah. Oh, it's not, you know, your classic horror, but I mean it's.
See, I think it is, though. I think it is a classic horror.
And, I mean, the fact that you have, I mean, because it's got the different stories going on, because when you think Silence of the Lambs, you know, you think Hannibal Lecter and all that. But then Buffalo Bill, you know, is just that whole thing. It's just creepy as fuck. And then the whole scene in the house with and the night vision goggles is great. And then when you get to the whole part in the, where he, you know, basically rips Charles Napier's face off and stuff like that is pretty awesome. Number 4, I think technically you could say the granddaddy, if not the maybe number 2 on my list of slasher type movies, Halloween. The first Halloween is, I mean, it's just so great. And then I mean,
it's
just
so pure. There's like no bullshit to that movie.
Yeah, and then the fact that it's a Mike Myers mask started out as a Inside Out William Shatner mask makes it even creepier. But I mean, just so much
not
of that
nearly
whole,
as creepy as Shatner's
well,
actual face
thing, because they had no money on that movie.
Yeah,
and that was an interview with who is that one? That's John Carpenter.
Yeah.
He sent his production designer down to a costume shop with like $20. He was like, just get me a scary mask. And he came back with a clown mask and the William Shatner mask. And they went Shatner.
Yeah.
As you always should.
Yeah. Just because much of it is, and yeah, it's just so great.
And it has the great music.
Yeah. Oh, the music
the
is
music
what makes it.
The music is so good in
yeah,
that
Yeah, that's
one.
What I think really adds to it. And it's Carpenter, so he did all his own music.
Of course. Jamie Lee Curtis. You like Jamie Lee Curtis, Durwood?
Yeah, but she didn't take off any clothes.
One of the greatest Jumping Dead moments in all of horror movies.
Yeah, Jumping Dead, and that's really good.
Where you think Mike Myers is dead and Jamie Lee Curtis has killed him, and then all of a sudden he just sits
and
right up.
Yeah,
the
sit-up
the
moment. Yeah, and the sit-up moment that
she
is just like...
She just put a hanger in his eye, and he's still... Oh, it's so good.
My number 3 is Nosferatu, the original.
Classic.
And it's just...
Classic.
Amazing. Number 2, Exorcist. Talk about that. My number 1 movie, my favorite director.
What did we miss?
Psycho.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That movie is such a great movie and one of the best twist endings that, I mean, the fact that Hitchcock made it so, like, I think he had it so they, the press screenings or whatever were like right beforehand and they said, and it was like, you could not talk about the ending at all.
Right. And also, too, he convinced theater owners that people couldn't be let in after the movie started. That you had to be there when the movie started.
Yeah. Oh, and I mean, just so much of it. And the fact that it was, at the time, no one knew that, you know, Janet Leigh was going to die.
Right.
So
she
soon.
She was the biggest name
And she
in
was
that
the
movie.
Name in the movie. So everyone's, and she was on the posters.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Fuck that. That movie is over 50 years old.
Yeah.
Fuck you. If you haven't seen Psycho by now, you should have.
Yeah.
And I mean, so many of the great shots. I mean, that shower scene is iconic. Yeah. And I mean, just the, and it has been parodied so many times.
Yeah,
and
most notably by Gus Van Sant.
Yeah. Oh, that was, God. How worthless was that?
Worst remake ever, by the way.
How worthless was that?
Yeah, that was the most pointless. Although the cool thing is I got a really cool psycho shower curtain out of it because it was part of the standee.
I liked what you were doing with the one, your first one, the Sleepaway.
Sleepaway Camp 3.
For me, with the funny and the horror and
I know where this is headed.
It has to be Army of Darkness.
I honorable mention, Evil Dead. The first one, because that's the more horror of, and then
Evil
two
Dead
is where
so
you
good.
Get, where it's basically Evil Dead, but hey, we're going to throw in some humor to it and build up to the sequel.
Now, here's the other thing. This was a new one. And I think this is kind of like, it's going to be right up there with you, but it's Cabin of the Woods.
Oh, Cabin of the Woods was great.
And I know the two of you, gosh, you two need to really see some horror stuff.
But we don't like it.
Okay, well, here's the thing, though. Cabin in the Woods, to me, was funny. It was...
Oh, it's hilarious. And I think one of the big things is, talking with a few of our friends, the more into horror movies you are, the more you liked it. Because it referenced it a lot more, and it was just great.
Yeah.
Three other movies that were on my honorable mention. Original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Also very good.
And also, I think, technically, Psycho, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and Silence of the Lambs were all slightly based off of the same story.
Yeah.
Like, some aspects of it. So, those are all on my list.
Yeah. And here's the thing about Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Most people put it up there with, like, these huge slasher fixings blood. There is very little blood or gore in that original movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I have,
Durwood, do you need a drink or anything? Maybe something to eat? Are you doing all right?
We'll get back to you in a minute.
You just let me know, buddy.
Would you like a Hot Pocket?
Yeah, actually, Hot Pocket
would
be nice.
Tough. We don't have any. We're doing a podcast here.
Should have done your homework.
What? Another one of my, honorable mentions, Suspiria.
I saw that one recently. I enjoy that for the technical aspect
of it. I mean,
But
it
didn't really scare me.
I liked it more. I think it was more... It wasn't necessarily scary, but it was very jarring.
The Italian horror films get pretty good. To me, nothing tops the Asian horror films. They really... Old Boy, Audition. They do not fuck around with those movies.
And
And The Ring, like the original Ring, Ringu. Oh my God, yeah.
Well, you know, you said because jarring, because for me, I think possibly the most jarring thing I've ever seen was the Martha Stewart special on home canning. Because I will tell you, when it came to the peach preserves, Sista
did
not fuck around. I mean, those things were so clean, and she drove the air right out of them, and they were sterilized, and I'll bet you those preserves were delicious.
Yeah, and then my last honorable mention...
Broken condom? I'm just saying, it's scary as hell.
Yeah, that's true.
Broken condom?
You're talking to the one person that's having a kid, and so it's on purpose.
Oh, I forgot.
God help us.
And so...
it's multiplied.
Yes. I just saw it for the first time last year, because, it took me almost, 80, 90 years to see it. The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. It's a 1919. Yep, I knew.
I think Sweeney Todd is upstairs.
Yeah, it's a silent movie, 1919, and it's really short. I mean, I think less than 20 minutes long.
Some of those old ones, they get pretty damn creepy. Cat people.
Well, yeah, because I mean, with how they had to do stuff, and
freaks.
It's just
the angle. Freaks.
Yeah, the angles that they do stuff at, and the special effects that they have to do to make it work, it just looks weird and odd, and just.
I love that so many films have based themselves off of those techniques that erode. They were born out of the fact that the filmmakers were so poor and there was no money, and like necessity bore so many awesome shots and creatures and things like that that $1 million films now, model themselves after.
That's kind of the thing. I like the less is more a lot of the times in my horror movies.
Yeah,
that those things tend to creep me out more. Like I said, the slasher films, like The Hostels and things like that. Saw. It does nothing.
I like the first Saw for what it did. After that, I didn't like them. But the first one, I liked.
Well, the best movies are the ones that let your imagination fill in the blank. And I think that's why, like, the first Blair Witch Project was so effective.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I didn't personally think that movie was scary because I grew up in the woods. So the woods at night is one of the safest places you can be. But the thing that was freaking me out is the part when they get into the house and the camera keeps moving and you can't control it. I was just waiting for something to climb into one of those windows.
Yeah.
Well, and that was the thing with that movie. I remember so many people thought it was real because it was really one of the first real found footage.
They did a good job with marketing.
Yeah. And I think that was more of the success of that movie.
And it was so funny because I remember people waiting in line for tickets because it was only playing at one theater in San Diego when it came out. So the line was huge. Like, oh my God, I can't believe it. That, you know, there are people looking for these kids and what, and like, it's not real. You think they're going to basically show a snuff film?
Well, it's a good marketing campaign. Well, and I remember, I wasn't born when The Exorcist came out, but my cousin Joya told me that when that movie came out, she went to go see it. They were handing out barf bags.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
people took that shit seriously. Maybe something now the two of you can jump in on.
Black Mama. That's a scary one right there.
Big Mama's House? That's pretty scary, too.
That's a frightening film.
Fat Mama. Stan Lee had a show where they had superheroes, and there was one on there named Fat Mama, and every time Stan Lee said the words Fat Mama, that was my favorite thing ever.
I loved that show. Television shows. Thank you for segueing us into that. Halloween specials.
Well, the mother of them all is, of course, Roseanne.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't
call it the mother's Roseanne, the father's The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Good call. Treehouse of Horror is always awesome.
How many Treehouses of Horror have there been?
How many years has The Simpsons been on?
23?
I think
I think we're going to season, are we 23 or 24? There's one less that they didn't do in the first year, but
Treehouse of Horrors, to me, they I wait for that every it. Year. I love
And I love that
Horrors.
It's usually in November, but that's because of baseball.
I love in one of them they mention my name. Well, it's the one where Marge reveals herself to be a witch, actually.
Yes.
And so she goes back to her sisters, and one of them was like, so you finally left Durwood. Bewitched reference.
And of course, Kang and Kodos are in
every single one
of them. Yeah. I
still have to say my favorite one, I think, is the fifth one. It was The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the matter? He wanted this dude. And also the Time and Punishment where he has the toaster, it keeps going back in time and then keeps stomping on stuff.
Yeah. That was a really good one. But my other favorite is probably the one where they did the Raven.
I love that one.
That was the first one.
Yeah, and I just love that Bart is the bird and the first thing he says is eat my shorts. It's just great.
I don't think I have a total episode. I have my favorite one's the one where Homer gets cursed by a gypsy witch.
Oh.
And Marge becomes the bearded lady, but it's like hair all over and Bart's has noodle neck, and I love that one so much. And the house that's like a robot, and it's Pierce Brosnan's voice.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Well, the first one is also the it's where the haunted house, where the it's like they're like, well, we're not moving. It's like, well, wait, so spend an eternity with the Simpsons? All right, I'm out of here, and the house just
implodes,
and you know, wow, it decided to implode instead of
living with us.
What does that say about us?
Durwood? Any Simpsons?
The one I mentioned, honestly, that's definitely my favorite one. Just, it's not a full episode, but a full the bit that they had in that Treehouse of Horror. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that that's the origin of giving candy to kids and all. So,
I also enjoyed that one as well. Roseanne, though, I always loved how full out Roseanne would go for Halloween.
They always had the greatest costumes. Mm-hmm.
Another thing I loved about them is that it wasn't like, because as much as I like the Home Improvement Halloween, you could tell there's no way that they did all that stuff. That wasn't really feasible, they didn't have that budget. Whereas Roseanne made it seem like this is something that they could do.
Well, it was something that, because we all have friends who, like, they save up for their Halloween shit. And it was kind of like that was them. They saved up because that was their thing.
I love the one where there's two that were great. One, her Halloween costume was a man, and she looked like a man.
And she was in the Lobo, and everyone thought she was a man.
Exactly. She went to the men's room. And then there was another one where they made her Prince.
Yeah.
Circa Purple Rain. That was awesome.
Another one of my favorite shows that hasn't done one every year but does good Halloween is South Park.
Yes, the first one, though.
Spooky Fish. No,
my favorite is the Pink Eye.
I love Spooky Fish because I love that too. One because it's the alternate universe where you get the alternate Cartman.
And they're not quite lined up on the screen.
And they never, I love that. And Hell on Earth 2006, where Satan throws a, like a My Super Sweet 16 party.
God, I love that
is
one.
Amazing.
Where he wants a cake like a Ferrari, and he pitches a fit like one of those awful, awful teenage girls on that show when he doesn't get his right cake.
Speaking of scary.
I love
those.
So,
like, when Amy's Sweet 16?
I was very happy at my Sweet
16. 7 years ago?
Thank you very much. But yeah, I wish they would do one every year. I understand why they don't. But those two, especially Spooky Fish. I love Spooky Fish. But those two I love. The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Actually, The Simpsons did a takeoff on one of those in one of their Treehouses of Horror that was also where the pumpkin kept eating all the children.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Well, I was going to say, and also I know Robot Chicken did something like that, which is hilarious.
Little friend, what about you?
All of the Roseanne episodes were great. I really enjoyed that and The Simpsons and trying to think other Halloween things.
Growing Pains had one that I remember only because Tracy Gold showed a whole lot of cleavage in that one.
So again,
I
just look you forward can dress to like
that.
A
hoe. And I'm sure and Kirk Cameron was a pain in the ass the whole time.
He probably was, yeah. And also,
he had to repent for his...
Anthony, I know you're familiar with this, so I don't know if it was actually a Halloween episode proper, but remember that episode of The Facts of Life? Where they all went to see that horror movie.
Ah, yes.
With the evil monster, the evil
in the
character
pig mask.
Named Dave. And they all, and it's like it turned out to be one of their dreams, and it was like they ended up having like a horror movie.
It was
like
they
in their
shared
house.
A mind there for a second.
Yeah. It was one of the best episodes of Facts of Life ever. Actually,
well, no, because I like the part where 2D was just like, you know, and I dreamt that Dave was chasing after us in the grocery store when we were buying our shoes, and Blair says, "You're buying your shoes in the grocery store. You deserve to die."
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna throw this out there. I don't want a huge debate about it because I got some fun facts about Halloween.
Ready your rabble, gentlemen.
Here we go.
Rabble.
Nightmare Before Christmas, Halloween movie, or Christmas movie?
That's a Christmas movie.
I believe it is a Halloween through Christmas movie.
it's multi holiday.
You gonna go multi holiday?
Yeah, it's not either. It's a.
So I'm the only one who picked the lane. All right.
Well, I mean, it's kind of both. I mean, that's you know.
This is why I'm asking.
Yeah, no, it's
you know, is it a Halloween? Is it a Christmas?
You know, I don't think there's any bad time to watch that movie.
Yeah.
I didn't say there was.
One of the other things that it was not really an episode, but growing up, and I don't know if it was every year on the Disney Channel, but it was 1 year and we recorded it, was basically that it was a Disney Halloween, and it was just a bunch of Disney clips. I think it was, I can't remember if it was half an hour, an hour long, and it was just a bunch of old, a bunch of clips from different Disney things that were more spooky stuff, Fantasia, cool. Stuff, you know, all that sort of stuff. It was great.
And if we don't mention this in our Halloween special, I think your wife would probably hurt us. What is the name of that?
Teen Witch.
Well, not just Teen Witch. The one with...
The Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Yes. Is that the one with Tim Curry?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But I know the one you're talking about, no, not Rocky
not
Horror,
Rocky.
But...
But the other
the
one.
The Worst Witch.
The Worst Witch.
Teen Witch is much better.
Can happen on Halloween.
If you've never
one of the greatest songs ever.
Look that song up on YouTube.
Yes.
Don't watch the movie.
Has anybody seen My Tambourine? Is just
the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Is that the one with Tim Curry?
I was the other one, you asshole.
Because he's only ever been in two movies.
Yes. So I've got some fun Halloween facts.
Excellent.
Candy corn will kill you.
It's a satanic holiday.
Here's the thing. I used to drive my mother insane because she would get candy corn. And you know, I was like, I don't remember the order of the colors. I don't know.
Red, yellow, white,
it's
orange.
Orange. I would just bite off the orange and put them back.
Okay. I hate candy corn. That's a dick move.
Just because it would aggravate
it's probably
my mother.
To bite anything and then put it back into a group of things is horrible.
Now I know what to do to piss off Durwood.
Yep, another
thank you,
thing.
Durwood.
Okay, the first jack-o'-lanterns were made from turnips.
Oh, so they were very small.
I knew that, actually.
That must have required a fair bit of workmanship.
They went from turnips to potatoes. Then after potatoes, they went to watermelons. From watermelons, they tried apples, found they were too small. Then it became oranges, too pliable. Finally, they found pumpkins.
I'm going to put this out there. I don't want debate. I just want an answer. Caramel apple or candy apple?
Caramel.
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 Or caramel, depending on where you're from.
No, it's caramel.
Okay.
Where I work, we make these monster apples that are like caramel chocolate candy that are the size of your head.
You got to be careful where you hold your hand on the stick because it'll break. It'll just buckle from the weight.
Anthony really enjoys them.
I love them.
I think it deserves to be said that everything I just said about the jack-o'-lanterns was total bullshit. No, yeah. I'm just making that up.
No, that was some Cola Wars stuff.
I liked it. Thank you. I don't know how to pronounce this, so I'm going to show it to the boy because he's better at this kind of thing. Say that word.
The?
Samhainophobia.
That is the fear of Halloween.
Which is funny.
How are you afraid of Halloween? Like the movie?
No.
Like, or the holiday?
The holiday.
The fuck are you going to be afraid of a day?
I'm just telling you.
It's weird.
Because it's the day when the veil between the living and the dead is lifted, and you have to dress in costumes so the dead don't think you're alive.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I don't know how dressing like Boba Fett would have spared me, but, you know, they're like, ooh, bounty hunter,
look at that special child. He's got enough problems.
He is covered in logos and rubber bands and dangerous-looking staples.
Ireland is typically believed to be the birthplace of Halloween.
It's also the birthplace of liver disease.
No, they didn't hand out candy. Handed out candy.
And you get on to me for defaming
people. You know what they probably... You know you get those little chocolate bottles of liquor?
That's probably
what they handed out.
To Ireland, yeah.
Shit, I'm going to start handing that shit at our house.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Little bottles of liquor? That'd be awesome.
Oh, only to ginger children.
Yes, of course.
There you go, little Seamus. My name's Debbie. I don't care. There you go. Top of the morning to you. I'm from San Diego.
Scottish girls believe... They could see
that you can't get pregnant the first time.
Aww.
They could see images of their future husband if they hung wet sheets in front of the fire on Halloween.
That just
they probably just had the bleakest outlook on their love life,
and you know, hanging wet sheets over the fire on Halloween.
It's gonna be
after taking mass amounts of peyote.
Yeah, that's probably just good for drying your sheets.
According to tradition. If a person wears his or her clothes inside out and then walks backwards on Halloween, he or she will see a witch at midnight.
Or they're a member of Crisscross.
What tradition? What tradition is that? According to what tradition?
It just says according to tradition.
That's something somebody made up then.
You got that from the internet, didn't you?
Yeah.
Did you go on Wikipedia?
No, this isn't Wikipedia.
Witchipedia?
Hey, I also heard of a tradition that if you find the nearest black man and give him $50 on Halloween, you'll get $100 at midnight.
Ooh.
It's tradition.
This is from randomhistory.com.
So you know it's true.
Well then, my bad. Keep going.
This year, the government, scary, expects consumers to spend $66.28 per person on Halloween.
Damn it, Obama.
Wait, what?
It's gotta be his fault. Everything
and
is.
40.1% of all adults dress up in costume.
Just 40?
That's what it says.
I'm gonna say that's 40 who'll admit to it.
No, okay. First of all, you gotta remember the other 60% is either A, people who are misers and curmudgeons and general misanthropes. Also,
I don't know what day it is.
Also, you're Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
And then you're really, 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 really hardcore Christians that think it's, you know.
Devil.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why I keep doing the spooky
hands. And then what's awesome is I used to go to a haunted house at my church.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah.
Where I was from, the JCs put on a huge haunted house, and they did it. It was a Kmart that was no longer there, and that's how big the damn place was. The haunted house was built inside a Kmart. It was huge.
The JCs?
The junior something.
Oh, I thought you were referring to like a doo-wop group from the 60s.
It's
or
an
something.
Organization of some sort.
Where was that? Oh, in many countries, such as France and Australia, Halloween is seen as an unwanted and overly commercial American influence, and they don't celebrate it.
In countries like Russia, you scare Halloween.
Bourgeois pigs with their candy and their costumes.
And that was our reference to Yakov Smirnoff, not Family Guy. Thank you.
Well, there you go. That's some fun facts.
Okay,
for you.
Well,
I put some learning on you.
You know, I think I learned something today. I think I learned that Durwood's a giant pussy who hates scary movies.
The fuck?
I think I learned that. You know, some bullshit stuff that Amy reads on the internet is suddenly delivered as fact on a podcast.
Random history facts.
And I think I learned that Joe really loves candy.
Wait, you just learned that?
I just needed to include him somehow, and it's just not an episode of the House of Pop Culture if I go more than 10 minutes without referring to his weight.
Oh, okay.
Point taken.
I am morbidly obese.
Which is also scary.
If you dug what you heard here, you can get your cheap thrills from us all the time on Twitter. You can follow us at Pop Culture House, or you can follow me, Anthony Donovan, at Daboy, D-A-B-O-Y.
I'm at Reggie Swing.
I'm at Craze Dr. Scott. There's only one O. Don't draw that out, though.
I'm at the_warden23.
Or if you have any suggestions or stuff we got wrong,
you can email us at thehouseofpopculture@gmail.com.
Husky dusky. All right, we want to thank sound engineer Joey and everybody at Don't Panic Studios. We love you.
Yay!
And that's going to do it. So I'm going to hide until the scary day is over, and I'll see y'all in November.
Give me my candy.
Come on, Daddy. Let's go get some Laffy Taffy.
Okay.